Good evening, everyone. The exciting time is here. We are in the Visio data session. I'm Sandeep Srivastava. I'm the principal program manager lead for Visio, and I look after Visio for desktop, and I drive the direction for Visio for desktop, and I'm here eager to hear from you on the direction that we're taking with taking Visio in the new data age. With me, I have three MVPs for Visio, David from UK, I have Scott from US, and I have Ed from Australia, who are going to be packing the session up with some of the customer anecdotes, which will help you understand how our customers use Visio today, and what are some of the challenges that they're facing in their operations when using Visio. And then I'm going to come back again and talk about how we are taking all this feedback and defining the direction of Visio. What amazes me is how we have evolved in our modes and mechanics of visual communication. In thousands of years of human civilization, we have come from an age where we used to do the cave painting to help our fellow beings understand the dependency between different people who have, were going down for hunting, to an age where we do the diagram in Visio, and to an age where we are creating that diagram from data using the large set of data that is there in the organization. We are going to be talking about how you take your existing diagram and you augment it with the data in your line of business systems. We're going to talk about how you take your data and you create diagram, and how you take the data and you model the diagram based on the data. All this with the speed, accuracy, and the scale that is unheard of, and that's unparalleled when we talk about the new data age, when the data is inundating us from all kind of direction. What we'll do is we'll talk about some of these stories so as to draw the picture on the kind of case studies and the problem that we're going to tackle on. We'll talk about Visio, we'll talk about the current capabilities of Visio, and then I'm going to hand it over to David, Ed, and Scott to talk about the customer anecdotes from different industry and how Visio is solving problems for them. In the very end, I come back and talk about the new data-driven diagramming capabilities of Visio, and I do a quick demo of what we have in the preview right now for the Fast Insider, and I leave an action item on you guys to sign up for it. We have 4 books to give away, which have been written by our MVPs, and we have a couple of bags and passes to give away. I have been a serial entrepreneur most of my time. I've spent a good amount of time in quant trading, in high-frequency trading, before joining Microsoft. In Microsoft, I have been managing billion-dollar product portfolio in Office 365, SharePoint, Office, and now in Visio in the last 17 years of my career. In my career in the quant trading industry, what I realized was how important it is to have a seamless communication across technology and business. If we don't have a seamless bridge or communication between the technology and business, we lose money, because on a day-to-day position, operation, if you have open positions, if you have unhedged position, you lose based on the mark-to-market. And what came to the rescue there is the visual communication, because technology and business talk different language. Visual communication helps them be on the same page. And there are different mechanics for doing it again. There are ER diagrams, there are state machine diagrams. This is all created by data to basically reflect what the state of the system as is, so as to make sure that the business side can review it and give their feedback. And then basically the iteration between the business and the technology side goes on seamlessly. The second use case that we'll demo today, we'll talk about today, is how you communicate visually across language, across culture, and across personality types. Visual is a language which transcends all this boundary and helps people communicate to people in a seamless way. We'll talk about that, and David is going to come on the stage and talk about that. We'll talk about how you can generate deeper visibility into process KPIs by extracting data from your line of business system, in this case from a project online system, and visualizing it in a process diagram to basically give a great visibility to your execs on how things are going really on the ground when people are collaborating with each other and executing on the project. Scott is going to come on the stage and talk about this. The third scenario we'll take is the business efficiency via operational intelligence. This is the scenario where Ed is going to come on the stage and talk about how he leverages VCO for logistics optimization for logistics that fly around, that travel around in the whole of Australia. And this is an interesting use case of VCO. Ed is also going to talk about the existing challenges that they have with VCO and the stopgap arrangements that they have taken in order to fill the gap. And then I will talk about how we have made sure that we're learning from this customer anecdotes and incorporating it in the VCO roadmap. So as you all know, VCO is highly deployed and loved by our users. There are loyal fans of VCO all across. In the last 2 years, since 2016, we have been going across the world and meeting up with our customers to understand them better and to make sure that we learn from that interaction and iterate on it. We have around 12 million users of VCO, and we have another 3 million in education. So around 21% of our license base is education, 12 million is from the enterprise. VCO is used by everyone. We have users in IT, HR, operations. We have diagramming types in process, network, engineering, software. Our use case ranges from basic diagramming to advanced diagramming, and we are like a Swiss Army knife, which once someone gets used to, they apply it for their day-to-day diagramming needs in different kind of scenario. And we're going to talk more about this as we go further. So the foundation block for data-driven diagram is what we call smart shape. And the foundation for that is Shapesheet. What we are introducing today is what we call smart diagram. And the foundation for smart diagram is smart shape. Smart shape, by the definition of it, is a shape which reacts to the changes of the data underlying the diagram. And smart diagram is an aggregate of smart shapes which makes the diagram come to life based on the changes of the data that power the diagram. Sorry, my clicker seems to be stuck, yeah. And the overall motivation for democratizing the data-driven diagram is to make sure that we go from the stage where we are scared of data, the big data, and the inundated data into our life, to a point where we drive satisfaction from the innovation that we drive by getting a beautiful insight in a visual and an interactive way. Such kind of analysis helps us separate opinion from insights, helps us understand the difference between what our users say versus what they want, what our customers say versus what they do, and the differentiation between the vocal minority versus silent majority. Data-driven diagram, I'll just take a couple of seconds to talk about the definition for this. We are going ahead and enabling a bunch of capabilities in VCO, which will become the platform of, which will become the part of the foundation of VCO. So you no longer have to depend on the solutions written in VB, C#, C++ to do the most common operation, which is creating diagrams from the data. You can, with this capability, write your own template, which would be capable of sucking data out of different kind of systems, be it in the XML format, JSON format, Excel format, or be it from different data sources, such as OData, such as ODBC-based databases, such as JSON-based web services, using Power Query as the backend. You can subsequently have the definition within the template which binds this data to the shape definition so that the data can then instantiate the shapes and the diagram based on the changes in the data. You can use this template to subsequently monitor, model, and visualize the diagram. And with this, your canvas converts into a diagram, which is interactive. The user can interact with the diagram, do the slicing and dicing. He can also do the semantic zoom in and zoom out to make sure that the information is abstracted when you move in from one level to another. And then on top of it, we are going to expand to support more data sources with the help of Power Query. So I'll talk about what the current capabilities of data linking is before we go further. Currently, you can import from a lot of popular data sources. We, as of today, support Excel, SQL, and ODBC-based data sources. And you can link your data to VisualShape, and you can publish them online as a dashboard. I'll take a quick minute to show you a demo. So here you see a network diagram which has been handcrafted by an IT admin. And this is a static diagram. Each of these nodes within the diagram has certain definition which is hidden in the shape data of the diagram. You can see that there's an IP address, there is an OS information, there's status information and CPU utilization and a bunch of other metadata. Now, as I have the operational information from my network, I have it available in the Excel sheet. And this Excel sheet, as you can see, has the information for the name of the machine, the OS installed IP address, and the current status of the machine. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to convert this diagram into a dashboard by linking the diagram with the data. As I do this, I have a certain visualization here, which I got to with a simple click of a button. I am going to customize this to make sure that I have the right data graphics applied. So in case of CPU utilization, I'm going to move over from a progress bar to a speedometer. In case of my status, I'm going to make sure that I have status, which is much more indicative by switching over to color by value. And I have a dashboard which is live now, which refreshes based on the changes in my network status. But the important thing here is that this diagram is statically created. So if there are new nodes that get added to my network, they are not going to come and reflect here. If there are nodes which get removed from my network, they're not going to come here and reflect. That means that when I convert it into a dashboard, there will be gaps between the system as is and the system that is being monitored. So I talked about the data graphic capabilities. We have a rich set of data graphics in Visio. If you haven't tried, I'll recommend you to go try it out. There is extensive documentation, YouTube video, and a lot of information about how you can create your own dashboard from the data in Excel, from the data in ODBC and SharePoint list, and take it online with Visio Service and Visio Online. And to sum it up, the smart shape, which is the basis of smart diagram, has the foundation of Visio's Excel-like formula. It has where you can define the behavior of the shape based on the slider or the control points within the shape. The shape can react to your interaction. It can react to the change in the shape data. And you can specify constraints for the shape so as to make sure that they work based on the constraints of the diagram. As we move into the customer case study, I'll talk about how diagram to dashboard is really important from the point of view of visualizing your metric and measures, which is the demo that we just saw. How you also make sure that this becomes real time, because this reacts to the changes in the data. You can use it to draw insight, But as we move ahead and as we make a future bunch of investment, we are investing in making sure that you have a good visual alerting system so that you get alarmed by the changes in the data when there are certain thresholds that get crossed. There are also ways and mechanics to make sure that you can take actions right from the dashboard so as to make sure that you can trigger a workflow. And then you can also use it for doing the analysis so that you can draw the correlation by changing your data and seeing how the diagram reacts to it. There are three specific verticals that we are going for. We are going for process monitoring, we are going for facilities monitoring, and we are going for system monitoring. There are different use cases within each of them. And as we work on this, we're making sure that we work well together with the whole data stack that we have with Excel and Power BI. And we make sure that we bring in the power of physical world visualization by helping you lay out your charts and the visuals on the diagram alongside with the charts and the metric from your systems within the SharePoint or Power BI canvas. So with this, I hand it over to Scott. Scott has been an MVP for the last 15 years, and he has been a great contributor to enabling our customer scenarios with Visio. He's going to talk about how he has been enabling the process dashboard with Project Online. Welcome, Scott.
Thank you. Quick bit of background. As Sandeep mentioned, I've been hanging around the Visio world for a little while. I am a partner at a company in the Boston area called the Harvard Computing Group. We're a business process consulting and software firm. The software comes in the form of an add-in for Visio called TaskMap that's been available for the last dozen years or so. I've written a few books about Visio, and among the things we're giving away at the end of the session today, if you hang around to the bitter end and answer a couple of quiz questions, and yes, there is a test coming, so pay attention, we'll be giving away copies of a couple of my books. The contact information I'll put up again later, and I've got some additional things I want to talk about at the very end. In the real world, what we find as consultants often happens is the people who use Visio to create process diagrams do that, and often do that really well. Sometimes they need a little coaching, and that's why we exist. The folks who manage projects use Microsoft Project, and they tend to do that very well, but there's this line down the middle. Sound like anybody's organization? That they don't necessarily, there's not necessarily a whole lot of communication between the folks who build the best practice views of the process and the way the work should be done, and those who use Project to manage instances of that process. What we like to guide our clients toward is a world in which they create their best practice views in Visio, and then use Project to manage instances of that process. So what I want to show you is a couple of ways that you can actually do that with Visio and Project out of the box. For example, to get started, it's important to understand that Visio has, for a long time, had the capability to import data from other places. So Excel, SharePoint lists, Access, SQL Server, and the database on the left side of the slide is there because Visio supports an ODBC interface to anything that speaks that language. So wherever your data lives, Oracle, or as you'll see in just a moment, Project Online, ODBC is the bridge, the link. Well, that's great, except that Project was sitting over there by itself, and Visio couldn't talk to Project in the same way. There was no easy way to get data from Microsoft Project into Visio. But it's a new world. Ignore everything on the left side of the slide for a moment. With Project in the cloud, with Project Online, the world is a very different place from the Visio standpoint, primarily because there are two kinds of projects that you can create in Project Online. You can create task lists, and you can create an enterprise project plan. Well, it turns out that a task list in Project Online is nothing more than a SharePoint list. So Visio knows how to talk to SharePoint lists. Great, Visio can talk to and import data from Project Online task lists. In the case of an enterprise project plan in Project Online, it looks like a database. And there's a company called CData. I'll talk a little bit more about them at the very end. A company called CData that makes an ODBC driver that in fact allows Visio to pull data directly out of an enterprise project plan in Project Online. Notice the little coming soon. There has to be a caveat, right? The coming soon is because what I'm going to show you today involves a preview or an early version of a couple of changes in Visio that allow that ODBC communication to happen. So while at the end of the session, I'm going to give you a link to download a free copy of this ODBC driver from CData if you want it, you won't be able to go home and try this tonight, but hold on. So let's take a look. Here's a swim lane diagram. Boring, right? But it's a basis for communication about a process. In this case, I've got some simple shape data. Actually, I don't have much data. I have fields defined. These are the standard fields that come with the flowchart shapes in the flowchart and swim lane templates in Visio. You've probably seen them all before. The only field in which I've actually entered data is the field called process number. And if we zoom in on this diagram, you'll see that you can actually see the step number for each step in this process. How? That's a simple data graphic. If you go to the data tab and we look at the data graphics, I've got this graphic here. I'll just right click and choose edit. And in this graphic, there are two components. There is one that we're going to come back to in a moment that says change the color of this shape based on the field called status. But I've also created a simple item that says put the text from the field process number and display it in a certain way. In this case, I've put it in a little circle, and that's what you see displayed to the top right of each process step. So now what we want to do is similar to what Sandeep did a moment ago for his network diagram. I'm going to go over to Project Online. In this case, this is the Project Center. If you haven't looked at Project Online before, there are both kinds of projects here. I've got a couple of task lists and a couple of enterprise projects. This particular one is the task list, and it's open on this tab, so we'll go there. And here what we see is some data that is about each step in the process, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Notice the task name, business owner, and so forth. Well, the thing I'm particularly interested in is the status column. We'll come back to that in just a second, but let's go to Visio and let's do what Sandeep did. We'll click data. I want to show you how easy it is to link to any SharePoint list. In this particular case, it happens to be a task list in Project Online. Simply choose SharePoint list. This is the URL to my Project Online site. I happen to have multiple lists I could access. The one I want is the list of tasks. And I have happened to have created a view of that list. I'll show you more about that in just a second, but I'm going to click link to a view of this list, and next, and choose the name of the list, which happens to be swim lane view, and click finish. And now the external data window appears in the bottom of the screen, and so what we see is data from that SharePoint list. So it's that easy to make the first step, link the diagram to data. The second step is we need to link rows of data to individual shapes, and that's where the process number comes in. But I need to do one thing first. SharePoint is great. When you import SharePoint lists into Visio, you get what you asked for, but it turns out you also get some extra stuff. I'm going to right-click and choose Column Settings, and I'm going to just unselect the things I don't care about. That ID is a SharePoint ID. Don't care about that. I've got my process number fields, and then there are a handful of others down here. If I had linked to the full list and not a view of the list, I would actually have about 30 or 40 fields across this external data window. So I've reduced the work. I need to uncheck fewer things by linking to a view. Click OK. Now the external data window reflects the changes, the things I've asked for. Now I have exactly the data I want. Final step, on the data tab once again, click link data and tell Visio link all to all shapes on the page. Use the column called process number and link that to the field inside each shape, also called process number in this case. Click next, click finish, done. And notice the shapes changed color. Why is that? Well, we got a little legend down here that Visio built for me automatically just before you guys showed up that shows exactly what each color means. Because I don't know about you, but next Tuesday I'm going to forget what I chose yellow to mean, or what I chose green to mean. So this way I can have Visio build the legend for me and I'm all set. I don't have to trust my failing memory. So that's a simple example of a Visio diagram that I've linked to project. Now, what about it? You know, why bother is a good question. Well, let's go back here. Notice the first couple of tasks are completed. We've got a couple that are in progress. Let's say this task is now completed. So I'm using Project Online to manage this project simply by, in this case, changing some values. Let's go with completed here as well. And this one that was waiting on input, we'll say, is now in progress. I'll just make these couple of changes if I can control my fingers here. Let's go with in progress. There we go. So simply make the changes in the SharePoint list, or pardon me, the task list in Project Online, same thing. Come back to Visio. Let's go back to full screen view here and watch the tasks, the color of the tasks in particular, as I return once more to the Data tab and click Refresh All. Out to Project Online, data back to Visio, done. So it doesn't get much easier than that in terms of seeing exactly where we are in this instance of the process at this moment in time. Just to round out the picture, let's do the harder thing. Let's use an enterprise project plan. For this particular case, I have created the process, and I'm visualizing that process using our TaskMap add-in to Visio called TaskMap. So in the case of TaskMap, if I zoom in on one task for a moment, there's a description. One of the drawbacks of flowcharts and swim lane diagrams is you typically don't get enough data from the diagram. So we wanted to make the responsible role really obvious. That's right at the top. There are supporting roles next to the little person icons below the shape. The piece of paper icon represents a guideline, something that typically a document you would refer to learn more about this task. And the wrench or spanner, depending on what part of the world you're from, represents the tools, the resources, the things you use to do the work of the task. And there's some other information there as well. But the key for today is the data visualizations. We've got a couple of little visualizations there. And if we go back to full screen view, we've got a nice legend that's over here. If I zoom in on it for a moment, we can see that we have flags that measure risk. A lot of our clients are quite naturally very concerned about understanding where is the risk in my process, which tasks have higher or lower risk. So here, with a simple graphic that changes color as I reassess risk, the cooler colors like blues and greens represent low risk, the hotter colors represent the higher risks. So at a glance at my map, I can see where those risks are. And the other is the field that we're actually going to change right now. I've got actual time versus estimate. So again, we're managing instances of the process, visualizing that in this process map. So we need to know which tasks are complete and how well they completed, on budget, under budget, over budget. So let's go to Project Online. And in this case, we're going to go to this tab, which is my enterprise project plan. Again, if you haven't used Project Online, the enterprise project plan looks a lot like desktop project. If you've been using Project or Project Server, looks very similar. We got your Gantt chart. We got a list of tasks. In particular, pay attention to the rows that are TA0 9 through 12. Tasks 9 through 12 are the bottom row in my diagram back here. Notice there is no completion indicator in the lower left corner of those four tasks. Let's fix that. Let's indicate, for example, that this task, which was budgeted for 2 hours, completed in, say, 1 hour. So it's under budget. And the next task completed, if scheduled for 1 hour, let's say it completed in 2 hours. So we exceeded the budget for that task. The third task, 3 hours, let's say it completed in 3 hours. The fourth one, 14 hours, let's say it took 15 hours to complete. Now, the most time-consuming part of my entire demo, at least when I'm standing here waiting, you know, playing wait, is right now. I just clicked a button that said publish. In Project Online, the data changes you make require that you publish them. In a task list, you don't. All you do is click into another field, and those changes are immediately available. When I clicked refresh in Visio, they were in immediately. Notice it's still publishing as soon as that, there it goes. It just lit back up again. That's that interval, that's the time it took Project Online to push the data out and make it accessible to the outside world. The good news for me on the Visio end, watch the bottom four tasks the lower left corner of each one in particular when I click Data and click Refresh All. Visio is now going to Project Online via this ODBC driver, and bing, we have results. We can now visualize that task 9 and 11, we completed on time or under budget. Task 10, over budget. And 11, a little bit over budget, up to 10%, but not more than that over budget. So does that give you some ideas about ways that you might take the capabilities built into Visio? This is all out-of-the-box stuff, no code here to do this kind of integration. The one piece of code that's required outside of Visio is that driver I mentioned. And actually, let me switch back to the slides, if I may. Oh, one other very important thing. I'm glad I put this slide in. I would have failed to mention this. I mentioned that when you import task lists into Visio, there are lots of extra fields. The same thing is true with an enterprise project plan. When you point Visio at an enterprise project plan and Project Online, if you don't filter what's coming in, you will be overwhelmed with data. Because among other things, you will get data for every project in that instance of Project Online. You will get columns out the wazoo. So click Select Column and Select Row in order to refine your results. If you want more information about TaskMap, just go to taskmap.com. That's the Visio Process Mapping add-in. My information is here. And the part of the reason that information is important, if you're interested in the CData driver, I put an arrow there next to my Twitter handle, @VizProcess. Just before the session started, and again after the session ends, I have tweeted a URL and a coupon code that CData provided so that all of you can download a free driver. It doesn't even have to be the Project Online driver. You can actually, they make several dozen drivers, ODBC drivers, for all sorts of different data sources. So if you want to link Visio to MailChimp, you ever use MailChimp for mass mailings? Yeah, whatever it is you want to link to, check, because they may have a driver for it. And if you don't have access to Twitter, handle conveniently see me afterwards, and I'll be glad to provide that information to you as well. You know where to find Microsoft information, but I just included that here for completeness. We'll take questions at the end. I'll pass back to Sandeep, or on to David now.
Yeah. It's me. All right. Well, some of you have seen me at the booth already. I'm David Parker. I've been an MVP for quite a few years, also authored some books. Tend to be more about corporate use. Two of them were. Yeah. The latest one there is about linking mastering data visualization with Visio. And the earlier one's about using the validation rules. And one before that, still current for a lot of it, things more about general development in Visio. So I've been doing this a while, since the mid-90s. And originally, I started as a building architect and needed to link CAD drawings to databases. Found that a bit difficult, and so I started overlaying with Visio. So I found there was a process that I tended to follow when I was doing that, was first of all getting my CAD file and inserting it to scale. It doesn't have to be to scale, but usually I did, because it's very handy to be able to extract things like ceiling tiles or carpet tile areas, and also for measuring the areas of space charged back internally for departments or cost centers. So that required me to overlay with some smart shapes in Visio. And now that we've got this wonderful linking shapes to data, then I can do a lot more exciting things with it. And I'm also gonna be showing you sort of development of that use that I did for the Rio Olympics. But I'm gonna move on to show how I use that information and those skills that I've learned to produce an interactive building plans and sections for this particular event this week, which is obviously a very enormous event, 1,400 sessions, 3 buildings, up to 5 levels, quite a lot going on. And I wanted a way to visualize what was going on at any time of day. So I was able to get some event session information, kindly given by the Ignite staff, some CAD floor plans provided by the staff here. I then realized I wanted to use some of the schematics. I wanted to give you guys a giveaway, which is available from my blog. And I've built into it the ability of importing your own trip report that you can download from the Ignite website, so you can visualize where you should be at any time of the day, which was quite interesting, because until I got here, the ability of jumping around this enormous three buildings was a little bit, I think I underestimated. So you'll see my sessions are too far apart to actually ever achieve. So to do that, I used Excel and Power Query to create my tables that I could link into Visio. And I didn't have to create many smart shapes. But one thing that I'm doing different to what the guys have shown you so far is that they were using the built-in data graphics. Now, you can create your own data graphics for bar charts and icon sets, etc., and text blocks. But quite often, I decide to build my shapes themselves with the bits in it that respond to the data rather than using the built-in data graphics. That gives me, I think, greater control at times. And so I'm going to be showing you that. As I said, I've got two examples to show you. And a little bit of VBA just to show. You'll have to switch over for me now, I'm afraid, Sandy. All right, just to show you how this all links together. So let's start at the very beginning. This is a CAD file brought into Visio. And I can show you that this CAD object, which fortunately now in Visio Pro for Office 365, we can bring in up to AutoCAD 2016 version. And generally, I found that I don't really need the furniture after I've done my initial take on, because then it can be used in Visio for planning with. But what I normally do is build my structure up. So I'm just going to switch on my walls that I built using this Visio Smart Shapes, and they're very easy because they've got some wonderful self-healing properties. And then I lay down spaces. Now these space shapes, as you can see, have been colored actually using color by value in the data graphics for the cost center they belong to. But they not only can they auto size within the walls, but they can also act as a landing point for shapes dropped automatically. Because within the plan data, custom data import, there is ability there to actually bring in any other shapes linked to data on top of existing shapes that you've got there already. So in this case, I'm going to bring in my person shapes, which went in and dropped directly into the workstations and the rooms that they're in, as we can see there. Now that I've got that, I can do other things like add in the furniture, etc., and eventually probably create some reports for personnel listings against locations and a legend, as we've seen before. So that's what I've done for many, many years. And I'm not going to show you that one next, because I'm going to go straight to showing you the one I did for the Olympics, which is that. So in this particular case, it's the same sort of thing. You insert an image, and the image can be to scale or not. This one is to scale. And I can then bring in the spaces, just like the rooms. But in this case, I didn't have any walls around them. And as you can see, these are the venues at the Olympics, at the Barrazone. And if I just switch on my little special shapes for the events, these are the events per in those arenas on each day. And these are representing information like the type of event. But you can see that I've got some information there about each day, whether the event is on or is not on. If it's on, is it a medal event? And so the data graphics here, my built-in data graphics, are actually responding to that. So within the page itself now, I want to see what it is on each day. So I've got a property here which gives me the day. And here on the 7th of August, if we just zoom in there a little bit, we can see those particular events. And if we flick through some of these days, you see the dates changing, and then we see the visibility of that, of the events that are appearing in each of those venues. So that's great. It works nicely. But then we came to this particular problem we've got here, which is pretty enormous. So I'm just going to switch the one with using the CAD layout. So what we've got here is all the buildings here. And if I switch on the zones, right, so a zone is each floor on each building, then I've got, instead of each day in the page, I've got a property for the 5-minute slots. So throughout the whole of the 5 days here, I can choose a time and then see how many events are going on within that particular zone. So I'm just gonna switch on my sessions, because I've got some sessions ones down here, which if you see, are the one that you should have gone to yesterday. Hopefully most of you did. And if I click it to today's one, which is this one here, then we can see the time is now 4 o'clock and we're up here. So if I go and have a look, oh, actually the wrong one to go and look at. If I go and have a look at Zone A3, which is the one I've done in the CAD, which is over here, at this time, this is what we've got going on. Now you see the time was changing and there's not a lot showing on there because I haven't switched on my spaces. So those are my rooms to drop them onto, and then the sessions that are in there. So as those sessions just switch their visibility on, there we go. We can see that some of them are fading in and fading out because they're fading out because they've just happened, fading in because they're about to happen. So all I had to do for this is quite simply reuse the space shape that we've seen in all of the previous ones, the examples I've shown you, create a zone master, a zone location master, and if I switched on my session shape, which I'll go back to here to show, and just click in there. We got this tricky little mouse on here. All right, I'll click it there. So this session shape you see is not using the built-in data graphics, it's using some special ones. So we've got an alert in yellow saying that this is currently on, and we've got red there to alert to say it actually was oversubscribed. I don't know if it all turned up, of course. All right, so having decided that to give you everybody all of the CAD floor plans was a bit too much to ask of the staff here, I created one with just the sessions, with just the images that are brought down from the Ignite website. So here, if we choose this particular time on here, I then can go to any of the floors. We can see how many sessions are going on and choose any of the floors and link into it. And we can see when we go into the floor, what's on there. Now, here we are at that particular time for that one. It's now just changing the clock. And if I wanted to run it to the end of the day, I can even run my timer. And now we can see as we go through in a few slots, the time slots, there we go, the clock is now going, we can see the different sessions being shown. All right, we're up to the last one, to the end of the day here. Okay, so having created this one with all 1,400 and odd different sessions within all of the floors, all of the zones, and being able to see what's going on at any time of the day, I then realized that the trip report that you can get from the website doesn't have any locations on it. But I did have the locations because I was supplied that by the staff. So if I zoom in to over here, we see you can download that trip report, which you can then import into here by using that button there. I won't bother doing it now because it takes it just a few seconds. But if I go to this section now and I choose, well, I've chosen what's that day there. I wish I could see, but I can choose any particular day to go and have a look at, set to that particular day today. Well, let's go and have a look where I should be tomorrow, according to my current sessions. So at 9 o'clock in the morning, that's where I'm supposed to be. And if I run the timer on there, it should now go through. And we see through the day, I'm going to be running around like, guinea pig in a wheel, I think, trying to get over from there to there. Oh, and look, I've got to nip there into B2. Very difficult. Okay, so that gives you a clue of what you could do if you had that all on SharePoint or on OneDrive for Business or on Dropbox, and you could be viewing that information every few minutes live, if you wanted to, by any of the new clients that are coming out. Could we switch back over, please? Okay, so that's the end of my little demonstration. I've also got a book to give away. Sorry about that, Scott, but I've got one, and I've got two discount codes, two different ones, I don't know why. I've got two ones here. I'm gonna come up with some questions as well, and I've got, if those of you are not lucky enough to win one, then we can follow those codes, and you can go and get that valid until the 5th of August. So thank you very much for your time. I'm now going to hand over to my friend Ed.
Okay, good afternoon. About 10 years ago, I decided to set up a SharePoint practice and became a Microsoft partner, and invested heavily in the Microsoft technology stack. And I have written books, but I haven't written a Visio book, so I've got no giveaways. I'm sorry.
You can get the backpack.
yeah, we've got backpacks as well, Visio backpacks. Oh, that's good. After a while, I realized that being just one partner in many made it kind of hard. So I sat there going, okay, what do I do next, and what do I really want to do? And I met someone who was in logistics, so we decided to pivot and create a business, a logistics business in Australia, and focus on technology for logistics, but also eat our own dog food, if you will, and open up a warehouse, buy trucks or rent trucks or work with contractors and see how lucky we could get growing the business. So that's about 4 years ago. Because I was in the Microsoft space, I did a bit of an inventory and decided that I didn't want a big team of developers. It's still kind of a big job to manage the business process from a technology point of view when it comes to logistics. So it was kind of daunting. But we decided we were going to do everything with declarative tools and less development and more from a business analyst point of view and a business super user point of view. So we decided to run everything in Office 365. Using workflows in Office 365, using technology like InfoPath for forms and feeding those workflows, storing everything in SharePoint, of course, or in Office 365 and SharePoint Online, and using Visio as a visualization tool, because back then you could already do a lot of these data-driven things, these data graphics. So here's an example in this slide, by the way. Of one of the very first pages that were used within the business from an operational point of view, and also were able to share with our customers through Office 365 as well, of course, because as we know, we can use external user access to give our customers access to our information. So we immediately kind of got an edge to the competition by making sure that the customer actually uses the same tools that we use and have this complete visibility of the same information. And as a small business, it's very important because you don't lose any time sending each other emails, asking about when a delivery is going to happen or when a pickup's happened and all that type of stuff. And I see a lot of that still happening in the logistics business in Australia, most certainly with the bigger businesses and what customers are faced doing. Is logging into different sites for different carriers and different providers and trying to make sense of all that information. What our system does is it brings it all together and creates this visibility platform for customers and participants in the business process. So we had this dream and sort of we're kind of 3 or 4 years down the track now. Using Power BI, using Power Apps even, using the new workflow technology called flow.microsoft.com. We did realize that because we've grown quite aggressively, there was a lot of data to manage and a lot of info platforms and things like that. So we did move to Azure to actually store that data in SQL Azure and use mobile services and mobile apps to access that data as well. So what I'm going to show you is kind of what it looked like in the beginning and what it's starting to look like now. And instead of showing you how it's all done, because these guys have already done that, you've got a bit of an idea of how that works. What I'm going to demonstrate is some of the challenges that we had and the journey that we've been on with the Visio team to actually overcome those challenges, kind of setting up Sandeep for the last bit of this presentation. That actually makes it all worthwhile. I mean, there's a reason why I'm still here after 3 years, and it's been a very exciting journey. By the way, what you see in this slide here is a screenshot of our mobile app, also developed with Microsoft technology, in this case with Cordova, because Xamarin wasn't free when we started. And this is what a driver uses on his phone. So this is another example of doing things with a very simple technology stack and cheap equipment. If you're in logistics and you're a small carrier, and let's say you have six trucks running around to deliver your goods around Melbourne, Australia, you can't really invest in a $1,000 or $2,000 device. So we said, oh, why don't we just write a phone app and give them all a $150 Windows phone? And that works quite well. So this is what the driver sees. He knows what to pick up. He ticks what he picks up. And what's important, of course, that the minute he does that, that phone's connected. It goes up into Azure. And when the customer looks at the customer portal, they see exactly the same information. So they see when a pickup's happened. They see when a pickup wasn't complete. There's even a camera integration there, so they can see when it was damaged on delivery or things like that. But all with very simple tools and in a very agile way. So this is a very early sort of proof of concept from one of the SharePoint sites. This is actually about 3 years old, and I've revisited this site just for this demonstration, and I realized that I hadn't been there for like 2.5 years. The good news is there's all these upgrades that happened to Office 365, and it still works, so it's kind of amazing. So here's what you see as a customer. Don't worry about the branding. Obviously, when we roll out a customer portal, they'll have their own logo and those types of things. And a typical customer doesn't see all those links on the left. I'm in God mode here, so I get all the goodies, of course. But they see their list of bookings, their list of consignments that they can sort and group just like you do in SharePoint. There's also links to reporting services report. So we run a reporting services server in Azure so that we can print labels and have a view of the data that is typical for what happens in the logistics process. I'll go to this other one and just click this particular consignment, because that's an example of the tracking page. And this is on purpose. I haven't touched this for a bit. And this is on purpose because I wanted to show you what the experience was like when a customer does this, and it's actually quite disappointing, as you can see, right? It takes a little while to pull up this page, and if you have to do that for every consignment, you're in a bit of strife, right? So this is a view in InfoPart that shows a particular set of the data that actually sits behind it. And I wanted to use Visio for the actual business process information. So you say there's some data, it's been picked up on that date, and the arrow turns green showing it's been picked up and it's in transit. And this particular example hasn't been delivered yet. But clearly one of the challenges was, yeah, it's all nice, it's all no code, so it's all relatively cheap to build and to deploy, but yeah, it comes at a price because the usability is not that great. Okay. So early on in the process, as you can tell, I'm a bit of a talker. So I talked a potential customer into coming on a journey with us. And what we're looking at here is the landing page for one of our customer-facing sites. And this particular customer has the problem of having to service about 200 retail stores across Australia and about 4 or 5 in New Zealand and a couple in Malaysia, I think. So there's a fair bit of freight going through the system from a central location. Their distribution center is in the middle here. That's in Melbourne, Australia, and they've got depots across Australia. So what they do is they move their freight from the central location into the statewide depots, and from the depots, the stores get serviced. And all these consignments are actually booked through that same InfoPart mechanism. Some of them are automatically generated by the system because they're scheduled things. So we've recently done what they call a level load project, where they've said to some of the stores, well, you'll get 5 pallets every day, or you'll get 15 pallets every day. And that meant they could negotiate very, very sharp contracts with the carriers, because the local carriers are the cheapest carriers. And if these local carriers actually know that they're going to have a particular workload every day, they can obviously give you a really good rate, instead of, it's 3 pallets. Oh, no, tomorrow you're going to get 10 pallets. Oh, no, the day after you're going to get 24 pallets, and the truck can only carry 20 pallets. And obviously that's a stress on the charges that they have to charge. But if you say to these guys, you'll get 2 trucks every day to that particular set of stores, these guys can give you really sharp rates. And this is very important. This organization saved about $3 million on their freight cost in the first year of using this system. And the reason being, before that, they relied on a national carrier, like a UPS in Australia. In this case, I think they relied on Toll. And Toll was very sharp in their rates for the local deliveries that were easy. But when it got a bit more complicated, or it got a bit more surprising, or it got up to North Queensland, and they had to actually use the local carriers themselves, there was a huge cost to that. So in order to manage that themselves, they needed the system to create that shared visibility, get the carriers on the system, and provide that transparency of all the data. So each one of these depots is actually linked to a site. So if I click on that, so we use Visio there to map the depot in a visual way, and then allow the users to navigate to these particular sites. So instead of having to go through a list of SharePoint sites or a list of favorites or something that's just hard to navigate, they just go to the map, click it, and bang, they're on that specific site. So the carrier gets access, they get invited to this site, and that's where they manage their information. Here's where the carrier goes to look up what pickups need to be done tomorrow, to log which deliveries have been done. If they're not using that driver app, they can do it manually, because that still happens in Australia a lot. There's a lot of local carriers that's just a one-man job, who go and deliver the pallets, and when they come home, the stack of paper gets on the desk, and the housewife or the wife of the driver actually goes to the site and enters the information, right? So that's kind of how this all operates. Okay. And then a real one. So this is a similar kind of map, showing a network diagram for another one of our customers. Same kind of structure with depots and carriers, but in this case, the carrier it only does pickups and brings all the freight centrally to the depots, and the freight that goes from the depot to the central location is all about returns. So these guys go and pick up all the faulty goods that you and I bring back to the store when it's broken, and there's an enormous process around that. It's a very important process to monitor as well at the item level, if you will, because it's often electronics, so you get mobile phones and all that type of stuff. So there's actually quite high value to that stock. That returns management is kind of an interesting scenario. And as you can see here, there's a bit of a data linkage scenario going on as well. Color by value, the depot goes green if everything's okay. The depot goes red if there's some kind of exception. So here, for example, hey, I need to look into this as a user. It's red, so I can see that there's 3 overdue pickups, and I need to figure out which one of the carriers that is. That's probably that one, because they've got a red star. And then you can imagine, as we've seen in the other diagrams, you can drill down to more information and all that type of thing as well. A little bit of dynamics is happening here, though. I've just, as an example, I have used the Excel sheet as a data linkage. I'm just looking up a nice. Here's a carrier called Regal that doesn't have any data graphics. See, it doesn't have stars or rating or anything like that. So if I go into my data, I can actually add that one. And let's say they're doing really well, so they've got 100% delivery in full on time. Save that data. And as soon as that that data then gets refreshed, which by the way, in an online scenario could just be every 5 minute refresh or things like that. You see that that automatically that data graphic actually pops up. So there's a little bit of dynamics happening here. But the challenge here is what happens if the customer decides to add another carrier, or if the customer decides to add another depot, and they go, hey, let's split New South Wales in two depots with six different carriers. They have to come back to me and say, Ed, can you modify the Visio diagram for me? And that's not quite an ideal solution, of course. So it is if you've got two customers, but as a small business, we're growing and we're selling this. So if we've got 20 of them, it becomes a problem. And if we've got 100 of them, it's out of hand. So that's where the model kind of falls over for us. Last thing I wanted to show you, we still have some time. Is the where's my tab? Is the Power BI slide? So here's a Power BI slide. You've probably seen some Power BI stuff by now. Normal Power BI with data against all of that stuff that sits in the Azure cloud for us. But what's interesting is there's a new functionality in Power BI that allows barcode scanning. So as I said, it's important for us to track item level. So we've created this driver app that allows the driver to scan everything that he picks up or everything that he delivers at the item level. And when you scan an item, it can actually directly navigate to this Power BI dashboard and fill in the filters that are relevant. So on the barcode scan, it actually goes to the information for that particular item and displays this all this information that's in the system about that particular item. Who picked it up? Where did it go? Was it received? All that information is there. And just as an illustration, I haven't done pretty things with this information. Just wanted to show you that there's a lot of information in the system available. What we show in the middle here is the actual route, the actual journey of that particular item. All right. So this is a little custom visual that we found for Power BI that actually allows us to plot between two or more legs of a journey and allows you to present some information on that particular connection, because that's all important. It would obviously be very nice if we could use Visio for that visualization, which we can't yet at the moment. Okay. Yeah, I think Sandeep can finish it up for us.
So let me just summarize what you just saw. You saw how you can use the power of Visio to create dashboard for processes, for facilities, and for logistics. And you saw how you can do it with the current capabilities, and you can apply a bunch of workarounds to keep pace, keep Visio pace with the changes in the technology and the environment around us. Integrating with IoT, Power BI, taking the Visio dashboard to web, and making the Visio diagram react to changes in the data is not possible today. And those are the kind of limitations that came across when we started understanding how Visio can be better used for dashboarding. We'll talk about what we are doing about this. We have begun a journey to enable the bunch of scenarios which can help you use Visio for visualizing physical word representation of the word, and foray into this area called operational intelligence. Operational intelligence is an area which is parallel to business intelligence. Business intelligence is based on the historical data. It's a post-analysis of the event. Operational intelligence is an intelligence which is based on the real-time data, based on the activities that are going on in your operations, in your company, in your warehouse, and the ability to visualize it based on the visualization, which can actually depict your operational setup in Visio. So we invest in extensive data source support. We are going to expand our data source integration beyond just Excel, SharePoint, and ODBC, and take it beyond that. And we're going to make sure that we make this work on Visio Online. The performance gap that Ed called out is something that we have taken a serious look at, and we have just released a preview for Visio Online, which is a completely redesign of how Visio ought to work on web. It's a SVG and a hybrid PNG-based canvas, which is very performant, which is modern, which works with all kind of modern browsers. It's in preview right now, and we are making sure that we're going to release it out in the next couple of months. It also basically is going to help you take the dashboard online. With the dashboards that you just saw with what Scott, Ed, and David presented, all of them are right now limited to the desktop. If you want to publish it to the web, there are limitations. There are cases where it may or may not work. We are working on making sure we make it seamless. We are also working on how we enable rich interaction by supporting zoom, pan, filter, highlight, and operational insight. And we're also making sure that when we do this, we have support for visual alert, communication alert, and the ability to take action on it. And we are doing this by making sure that we work with the full stack of technology with SharePoint and Power BI so that it works in the context of how you use Visio.
Happy customer.
So there are three things that the data-driven diagram will make it possible. It will help you visualize your physical world based on the data, and I'll show you a demo of that. It'll help you model your system and the data based on the visualization. And the classic example of this is database reverse engineering, UML modeling, process modeling, where the data behind each of them defines what your diagram should be. And when you make the changes in the diagram, it needs to reflect back in the data. And that's the classic modeling problem that we are and we will be dealing with. And then we are going to be also enabling real-time monitoring of physical world with the kind of scenarios that Ed talked about, where the nodes are dynamic, where the diagram needs to be dynamic, and the changes in the real world needs to reflect in the physical world representation of the diagram within Visio. So these three scenarios are what we are going after. And in a while, you'll see how we have made that possible with our investment in Visio. The new capabilities are around how you can automatically create diagrams from data. And these are the immediate set of capabilities that we are going to go out in the early part of the next year. We are going to be enabling how you use your predefined Excel data template, or you bring in your own template and create and do the mapping to create the diagram based on that Excel schema where you represent the data. How you can customize the diagram creation in that process so as to make sure that you can create the diagram of your choice with the shape of your choice and with the layout of your choice. And get the desired effect without having to do the manual creation of diagram over and over again. And last but not the least, make sure the diagram is in sync with data. So when your data changes, the diagram updates. And that does away with the manual intervention that is required to keep the diagram up to date and keep the efficiency of the whole process going. There are a couple of user scenarios that we're going to talk about. With this investment, we are immediately going with the process as an industry. We're talking about how you can take the classic data that is captured by the business analyst and convert it into diagram. This data could be either manually created using interviews or using discussions within the organization, or this data could be derived from the workflow within the system, which has a good capture of how the data flows when a specific process rolls into the motion. And then we basically also make sure that we take care of the conformance and the compliance scenario, such that the process diagram that are thus created are standardized and basically live up to the standardization requirement that are imposed by the enterprises. Okay, let me do a quick demo. Okay, so here is a Visio blank canvas that I have in front of me. And what I do is I'm going to create a loan approval process based on the process map data that is captured in Excel. So I click on the create button. This is a new button that will be available to enable this feature. And I take the Excel file and I link it with this diagram. This is the process data that I have in the Excel. As you can see, there are columns for process step description, the column for connectors, and then there are column for the shape type. And then there are metadata which can actually help you depict the operational state of the steps within the process. So you can use all of that. And when you do done, the diagram is created with the metric laid out in front of you. The different colors within the shape depict the status of the step within the process. Just to make it simple, I'll insert a legend here. And you can see that the process is laid out for me in a quick snap of a second, and the colors are applied with the data graphics to make sure that the current status is updated. Now, as the Excel changes, the diagram also changes, and the process reflects the current situation on the ground. To illustrate this further, I'll take another example of a network diagram where you have a blank canvas and you have a data which has been spewed out of a network discovery system. And this network discovery system could be SCOM, could be Nagios, could be WhatsApp Gold, could be SolarWind. And as I do this, you'll see that the diagram gets created with the metadata that I have selected here. And it gets laid out with the complete data graphics in front of me, which just takes away the manual labor of accuracy and scale from the day-to-day operation of a system admin. So this is what we are going to be enabling. And if you're interested in doing a preview of this feature, do drop us a line at this alias. And you can go sign up for the preview at the below URL. When you sign up for the preview, we'll basically make sure that you are part of the first circle customer who gets these features on which you can give us the feedback and we act on it as we build this feature, not just for process, but for the subsequent set of lineup that we have around Smart Diagram. So that was the story for today, folks. Do evaluate us. Here is the evaluation URL and the code. The mail for sign up and the sign up URL is at the bottom. We have a couple of mics right in the between. So if you have any questions, all four of us are here. We'll be happy to answer any questions. And we do have the books to give away. So David and Scott are going to tell us what the master secret for giving away the book is.
Questions first. Anyone have questions?
I do.
Yes.
I was curious.
I hear a voice. I don't see.
I'm to your right.
Ah, there we go. Thank you.
I'm curious if you're going to be working with the Outlook Connectors team to have a actionable message connection also included with Visio so we can send actions, trigger workflows, and update the data from users' email.
So that's a good feedback. We haven't thought about that as a scenario.
I want that.
Yes.
That's a message.
though if you have to make that possible today, I think CData has a connector for Outlook, and you can really make that possible with the help of CData as of today. But we do want to make sure that we give it a first-class treatment when we directly integrate it within the Visio. Thank you for that feedback.
Let's switch to this mic. Yes.
Okay. Who was that with that question?
Oh, the lady with the question? Yeah.
Don't you get to that? Oh,
of course.
Okay.
Go ahead.
SharePoint Visio services. There you go. Is it going to be dynamically data-driven, updated, refreshed as well? And the future roadmap, will it still support Visio services through SharePoint?
I'll answer the first part of the question in terms of what exists today. The update is dynamic today. If you use Visio, point it to data in SharePoint, then that will be updated dynamically. As far as futures with Visio Online?
Yeah, and it's going to continue that way. So was that the question or?
Yes. Just to repeat the question, so is that also true for Visio services for when SharePoint is on-prem?
It will be. As long as the firewall boundaries are respected, it will work.
Okay. Gentleman over on this side.
I have a question for Sandeep. with your network diagram, what type of refresh rate is available on that dashboard?
As of today or in the future?
Today and in the future. Both, yes, please.
So today, on the desktop, you can do refresh with a frequency of 1 minute interval.
Okay.
On the online, you can do the refresh with an interval of 5 minutes. But as we are investing in this with a new Visio Online, we're making sure that you can do real-time refresh so that the diagram remains up to date when the data changes at the back end. But again, you have the option to make it poll-based as opposed to event-based refresh. So.
Did you say
thank
near
you.
Real-time?
Yeah.
Yeah. Back to this side. Yes, sir.
So my question kind of goes along with that, I think, is that as you're connecting these things and it's out there in the web or whatever, what is the requirements on getting it connected back to the data as far as service accounts or that type of thing? What are those struggles that someone might face in trying to produce something like this? We did something similar with Visio and populate internally on SharePoint, but that seemed like it was a lot more pain to get set up. But where is that going, or how does that make it easier to do this type thing?
So if you've linked to data and there's an issue with the link to the data source, what how do we react to that? Is that what you're asking?
Right, like you had to get whatever the SharePoint service was, the background, you had to give it access to the SQL server where the data was coming from and that type of thing. It was just convoluted.
So is that a feedback or a question?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we are aware of how the changes within network structure and the changes within credential plays the havoc on the dashboard. We are also aware that we need to honor the user role when you create such kind of dashboard. So when I have a view of a dashboard, maybe the other person in the organization needs to have a different role. So we are designing for that, and as we unveil this, you'll see the design take care of these things.
Yes, ma'am.
What about a planner, like how you connect it to project? Is that a possibility, connect to planner? Are those task lists also SharePoint lists?
Planner.
To planner?
The planner.
I can't answer that question. I'll have to defer to Sandeep.
I don't have an answer for that. So I'll connect with you offline, take your contact, and get back to you offline.
Okay, two votes for planner connection.
Yeah, that's two. So.
Three.
Okay. Three votes. Okay.
Planner.
Before we get to your question, some people are leaving. Let's give away a couple of things, and then we'll come back to any last questions. The answer, a show of hand, what's the name of the tab that we featured most prominently today for linking and visualizing? Data tab. I think you've already won one prize, ma'am. Was there another hand over there? Yeah, the front row.
Okay.
We'll hold that book for you.
All
David?
Right. Okay. Here's one to annoy Stella. Which country beat China to come second in the medal table in the Rio Olympics?
Yeah.
Great Britain. That's the answer down there. That's the one I want.
one more book for me. What's the acronym for the technology that allowed me to connect Visio to Project Online? Yes, sir. I saw that hand first. ODBC. Okay. Book for this gentleman.
Gosh. Okay, mine's on my section drawing of these buildings, How many zones are there in total?
Yeah. Give that man a prize.
What did he say? What did he say? No, that's no answer. Yeah. How many floors have we got here? How many buildings? No, I still not hear the right answer. 11. 11 is the answer. Who was at 11?
Good random.
Again? Oh.
All right. Thank you all. We're officially closed. We'll hang around over here offside and answer any additional questions you have. Thank you.
Thank you very much.